Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Mr. Science Show. And today we're talking invasive genetics. This week I spoke to Dr. Katerina Mikak from the University of Wollongong. Katerina is a molecular ecologist, and molecular ecology is a field of evolutionary biology. Now, Katerina is actually an award-winning scientist. In 2007, she won the Science and Innovation Award for Young People in Agriculture, Fisheries and Forestry for her work on the capra beetle. Now, the capra beetle feeds on grains and can decimate food storage systems. And we're lucky here in Australia because we don't actually have the capra beetle. And should it ever find its way here, it could spell disaster for our farmers. Katerina's current work at the University of Wollongong is on the population genetics of the invasive western corn rootworm in southern Europe, and she's actually off to Germany and Croatia in a couple of weeks as the Australian expert in this area to collaborate with the Europeans and the US about the problem. We started the interview by taking a step back from invasive genetics to try and understand the overall field of molecular ecology. Tell me a little bit about molecular ecology. What is molecular ecology?
So molecular ecology is basically one step below the study of ecology. So ecology is the study of how organisms interact with their environment. And so when you're talking about molecular ecology, you're now looking at we can't say molecules, but basically how does DNA come into that mix? And so you're looking basically at partitioning of genetic variation, and the way that you do that is through examining an organism's DNA. And so in ecology, where we're really interested in distribution and abundance of organisms, in molecular ecology, we can go that one step further and look at their genetic structure and comment then on evolutionary processes related to this distribution and abundance, basically. And then you get to do cool things like use their DNA of an organism to track their movement, find out where they've come from, how they're coming into particular places. And from my line of research, so looking at invasive insects, it's very interesting to use DNA because they're so small, I can't really attach any kind of transmitting device to them. So the transmitting device that I use is their DNA, basically.
And your area has the coolest sounding area of science I've heard, invasion genetics. That's fantastic.
Genetics, yeah.
So what does that involve? You're tracking pests by their genetics.
Yeah, exactly. So I use their DNA to track their movement or dispersal. So and I do that on a local level, so I can do it between sort of distances of meters, or I can do it sort of in internationally, so an intercontinental level. Basically, most of the work that I do does look at invasion genetics and the question of how are these insects moving around. So I've studied probably about 3 or 4 different insect species now, and mostly I'm concerned with how are they getting around, where are they coming from, how can we stop them coming from where they're coming from, and so on. And I do all of that through DNA.
I guess the cane toad's the best Australian example of an invasive animal, but we know where that came from, don't we? We introduced it ourselves.
That's right.
And so you're now off to Europe because you're studying a pest of corn, and you're going to share your Aussie knowledge with the Europeans and try and stop this corn pest coming to Australia.
Yeah, that's it. So the actual pest is called the western corn rootworm, and it was introduced to Europe in the early 90s from the USA, and it's since become a really big problem in Europe. At the moment, the USA and Europe are working together to try and develop a better understanding of, again, the movement patterns of this particular insect, and they've called me on board to give a talk in Germany in a couple of weeks on my work that I'm doing on the western corn rootworm in Croatia. So I've got some collaborators at the University of Zagreb in Croatia. They haven't done any genetic analyses of the western corn rootworm populations that they have in Croatia. So I've come on board to help out with that and lend some of my knowledge to that. It's a global effort to try and stop this invasive insect. And the great thing is that we don't have it in Australia. We don't want it in Australia. It would be bad news for our corn industry. It's sort of a win-win situation for Australia. We don't have it, but now we have someone like me who knows more about the problem, and if they should, you know, turn up, we'll definitely know what to do and how to stop them coming in and so on.
And what would happen if this bug got to Australia? And does it have any relatives over here already?
It doesn't have any relatives, thankfully, here. The Western corn rootworm is a pest on all levels in the sense that it lays its eggs in the soil, the larvae develop, they eat the roots of the corn. The adults then emerge and then they also start feeding on the actual plant itself, and basically they will cause such structural damage to the corn that the whole plant just is basically lost. It's not viable anymore. And they're quite voracious feeders, and because they feed on the root and then the actual plant itself, there's just no chance for the corn at all.
And what are some of the other pests that you've studied?
Yeah, so I'm basically interested in pests of what we call stored products and then also pests of crops. So some of the other insects that I've looked at are pests of grain in storage. They're called book lice, and they're very, very small insects, and they're basically what we call quarantine pests. So something that affects our ability to... I don't know where I'm going with this.
To eat. Something that affects our ability to eat.
Yeah, that's right. That eats our food, bugger off insects. I've studied soakids. They're called soakids or book lice, and they are pests of stored grain. And I've studied 9 different species of those, again, looking at their DNA to track their movement and so on. I've also looked at the world's worst beetle pest, which is called Trogoderma granarium. Again, it is a pest that can decimate grain stores in a matter of weeks, and I'm still working on that project with a PhD student from I think it's Edith Cowan University in WA.
Yep.
And again, looking at the genetics of that pest and then trying to work on developing tools, so DNA diagnostic tools to identify them. And then most recently, I'm working on the Western corn rootworm.
Okay, so is it difficult to identify a pest? So if you find one, you pick it up, you don't know what it is, that's why you need to do genetic analysis?
Sometimes. Most of the time, like the Western corn rootworm, it's yellow and black. It's got pretty obvious colourings on it, and if you knew the basics of it, you would know immediately what it was. Yep. Something like the Trogoderma granarium, which is one of the world's worst beetle pests, it's actually got some sister siblings, and they look really similar. And in that situation, you cannot tell them apart. And so it is down to DNA diagnostic tests or genetic tests to tell them apart.
And so if you know their DNA structure, can we work out cool ways to kill them or to stop them breeding?
Well, that is the next step. And there is some fascinating research going on at the moment using different bacteria and to actually try and control species. And really, I mean, your imagination is really just the sky's the limit, basically. Whatever you can think of is basically what you can do, sort of. But in the sense that some of this research that's coming out now to control insects is just really interesting in terms of manipulating their DNA and maybe introducing particular bacteria that make them sterile and so on. So, and one of the species of insects that I study does actually have it has been infected by a particular bacteria. The bacteria is called Wolbachia, and it actually causes it to basically become a clone. So there are no males anymore in this particular species that I was looking at because of this infection, and so it just produces females and has knocked males out of the population completely. So they're thinking that they can use this bacteria now to sterilise particular insect species and use it as sort of a natural control mechanism.
That's a really interesting way of stopping a species breeding. I've heard of particular drugs or whatever causing animals to be sterile, or they'll take something back to the nest and kill everybody. But I hadn't heard of anything that just kills all the males.
It does all sorts of other things, like it makes the two, like the male and the female, genetically incompatible, and causes them to not be able to breed, and then all sorts of things. So it can either kill off the male or make them incompatible, and it's a fascinating organism. And at the moment, this is not completely off the track, but at the moment there's a whole research project that deals with malaria carrying mosquitoes, and they're actually trying to put this bacteria into the mosquito to use it as a control.
And you're not only the Aussie expert in this, who's travelling the world telling people about this, but you're also a local Canberra celebrity. I saw you in the newspaper. Yeah, you are. I've seen a picture of you in the newspaper holding up butterflies, I think.
Yes, I do know what you're talking about now. Well, these insects, wow, they've taken me far.
They've taken you far. You've flown on their wings.
Yeah,
so
that's right. into the celebrity pages of the Canberra. Yeah, Canberra Times.
Now, you are something of a celebrity because you have won an award for your work, haven't you?
Yep, that's right, I am. Yeah, in 2007, I won the Science and Innovation Awards for Young People in Agriculture, Fisheries and Forestry. And that was for basically my work on understanding insect grain invaders. And what I was most interested in, what I got the award for, was for the work on the Trochoderma granarium, which is that capra beetle, which is the world's worst beetle pest. And I was developing, and I'm still in the process of doing that, developing a DNA diagnostic test so that our quarantine officers have got some way of diagnosing or working out whether this capra beetle is trying to come into the country or whether it is one of the beetles that we already have here, which they're basically indistinguishable. They look completely the same, but if at the border it was confused with this capra beetle, so the very deadly beetle, then we'd be in a lot of trouble, because countries that do have this particular capra beetle, basically there's trade embargoes set in place, and no country will trade with you anymore. And so, it's a big deal, A, for our food security, because they do, they are voracious feeders and they will eat all our grain, but also in terms of the economic implications are really huge as well, because it means that basically no country will touch you with a 10-foot pole. So
okay, so one of the end goals will be to develop some tests that customs can use on luggage on the way in, is that right? Or more on like shipping or something?
Well, basically, if they have samples of these insects, they can then apply this DNA test and basically get an answer within a few hours, hopefully, saying that, yes, it is this really bad species, or no, it's not. And if it is the bad species, then they've got a contingency plan in place, and they'll follow that and do whatever it is that they do to stop it from going any further. But, as recently as beginning of last year, there was a situation in Western Australia where the capra beetle did come into the country, and it was found in the luggage of some people that had moved from Scotland to Australia. And so their whole house was fumigated and all their belongings.
Really?
And everything. So, it is a big deal.
It sounds like what you need to do is develop this technique and put out a patent, and then you're going to make an absolute fortune because everybody's going to need to use it.
I've been thinking about it.
Don't worry, nobody listens to this show anyway, so no one will get any ideas.
You can't say that, Mark. They listen. You're so cute. Nobody listens to this. Yeah, I'm actually working on that at the moment. So what I'm working on is going one step further from the sort of the fingerprinting technique, or like the, just the diagnostic, and working on some kind of it's what's called a squish test, basically.
Yeah.
And just basically being able to take the insect, put it on, whatever, some sort of immunoassay thing that I've prepared. But, you won't be able to see it. It'll just be like a cardboard.
Yep.
So, all the science and all that will have been done. And you just squish it on there and, you know, it'll be blue for yes and green for no or something.
A bit like the, what do you get tested for now? Explosive material.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Exactly. You know, so, I mean, to the user, it just looks like a little cardboard thingy. It's been years of development.
Yeah.
So that it's got all the whatever's on that thingy that you can just go ahead and...
Because I imagine that would be quite complex sort of biochemistry in there.
That totally... Totally. And, you know, I have been looking into it and, it's quite complex and quite time consuming and it's doing my head in trying to work out the science behind it all. But it has been done, you know, and a really good example is it's called the Lepto Test Kit. And it tests for a particular moth pest of cotton. But, it took about 3 years to develop that particular test.
Oh, that's fascinating. This is really interesting stuff.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm glad someone's listening for us. I'm not talking to myself.
Well, that's all we have time for on this week's edition of the Mr. Science Show. And thank you very much to Dr. Katerina Mikak from the University of Wollongong for all your time for this interview. Yes, Katter, you must get out of Wollongong and come and visit us sometime in Sydney. But first off, make sure you have a fantastic time representing Australia at all the European conferences you're going to in Germany and Croatia. If you'd like any more information on molecular ecology, evolutionary biology, invasive genetics, or the Western corn rootworm, then get over to my website, www.mrscienceshow.com, and I've got plenty of information up there, as well as links to Katerina's awards and her research. Please feel free to email me from that site, connect with me on Twitter, or leave any comments that you like. That website again, mrscienceshow.com. Thanks again for joining me this week. I'll see you next time on the Mr. Science Show. Bye for now.